Well, we know it's been wet and wild and crazy out there, but the sun's out today. It's going to rain again tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next. I do know one thing. Rain or shine, sleet, snow, hail, if they've got power, there's one place in Chico that has shelter, food, water, beer, wine, and happy hour. That's the Handlebar.
Yeah, they're located at 2070 East 20th Street on the south end of town here in Chico. They've been longtime advertisers here on our show. We stand by them. I was there within the past week.
We'll always be there within the next week.
It's a great beer selection. Yeah, like you said, they've got a beautiful indoor, beautiful outdoor situation. Regardless of what the weather's doing, you can count on great beers, especially during their happy hour. Like you said, Johnny, 7 days a week, 2 to 6 p.m., a dollar off any of those draft beers. Again, that's the Handlebar, 2070 East 20th Street. Go check them out, and here's our show.
Why don't we begin?
Report to set. We hope you enjoy.
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.
Hey, welcome back to Fresh Hop Cinema, a podcast about craft beer and film. It's also a radio show, and my name is Max Minardi.
I'm Johnny Summers. Hello.
This week on the show, we're covering Civil War. It's a new film from Alex Garland and takes place in the very possibly not too distant future in the United States during, as the title says, a civil war. We follow a ragtag group of journalists on a road trip from New York to Washington, D.C. on a mission to interview the president before the quote-unquote Western forces of seceded states California and Texas arrive to take control of the White House. It is about as fun as it sounds. Then later in the show, I'll be giving you my thoughts on another war movie, kind of. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is the action spy comedy movie from writer-director Guy Ritchie. It's based on the actual events of Operation Postmaster, and it follows a team of covert operatives played by Henry Cavill, Alan Richson, Alan Richson's Arms, Henry Golding, Eliza Gonzalez, and Alex Pettyfer in the midst of World War II on a mission to destroy a U-boat supply ship off the coast of Cameroon. It is also about as fun as it sounds. In that case, very much opposite. But before we give you our thoughts on any of that, Johnny got us some beers this week. What are they, my friend?
That's right. We're doing two beers from Ronin Fermentation Project out of Gray Eagle, California. The first is called No Puffin. It was a 420 release, you might have guessed.
It is a
smoked Helles lager that is 3.8%. The next beer we're going to do from them is called Amigo Tranquilo. It's a Mexican dark lager brewed with corn that is 5%.
Okay. I'm looking at the first beer. There's no, it's just a 16-ounce can with nothing on it.
Yeah.
Where'd we get these?
Charlie, the owner, brewer, master guy, handed them to me.
Where were you?
I was at Ronin.
Oh, you're at the brewery?
Yeah, I popped in.
You took a brewery trip.
Yeah, I was up there working, actually, and I was in Quincy and driving up to Portola, and I was like, I got to go see this guy. He's a homie, and I'm 2 minutes away. So
great.
Popped in and said, what's up, and snagged some beers.
Just so people can know off the top of the show, are these beers, either one of them today, available for the public in either distribution like in Chico or at the brewery?
At the brewery, yes. Okay. In Chico, not quite yet. All but right. Insider peek, maybe soon.
Love that. If you're listening on KZFR 90.1 FM, hope you're having a great Saturday. On the radio version of our show today, you'll be hearing the majority of our episode, which might eventually include spoilers for Civil War. If you haven't seen it yet, you don't want it spoiled, I'd encourage you to go see more movies when they come out. It's been out. We're about a week behind schedule, so you've had plenty of opportunity. But if that's not your thing, you can always now go see the movie at your leisure and then come back and listen to our show in its entirety in podcast form. That version of the show includes Hot and Bothered. This week, it also includes my thoughts on the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. But Hot and Bothered is exclusive to podcast listeners each and every week, and it's how we end the show, by basically letting Johnny say whatever he wants. And I don't have to worry about the bleep button, so it's a relief all around.
Yeah. To find our ramblings in their entirety, type Fresh Hop Cinema in the search bar on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast platform. If we have been releasing new episodes every Friday since 2016, which means since you're hearing this on a Saturday, it is available to all of you listening on KZFR right now. If you like the show and you were raised with manners and decency, take a minute out of your day and leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. After you do that, definitely let us know. Text us with feedback about the show or whatever you've been drinking or watching lately at 530-433-0839. Again, the number for the show is 530-433-0839. If you're a social media mogul like me, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd, or Untappd. If you want to get all the goods in one place, just head over to our website, freshhopcinema.com.
Okay, let's talk one other website briefly, and that is patreon.com. Johnny, I feel like I say it. I feel like 90% of the time. What is Patreon?
So Patreon is a sort of a crowdfunding website / membership situation where you can sign up and subscribe to us at several different levels of patronage, and you get cool stuff in return, and it helps us keep doing this. We buy things like alcohol, movie tickets, recording equipment. If you're lucky enough to be in the gang and come to one of our bar hangs and you're at the right tier, we buy you a beer tonight, like we're going to do at our bar hang. So that's going to be rad. First shot at merch. We're cranking out new stickers fairly frequently. So it's just a way to keep this rolling. Support us with a bit more than listens and shares and likes, which we appreciate. But it's a tangible, physical way that you can contribute to the show.
All of that stuff also is fairly behind the scenes. Like, nobody's going to know you're contributing necessarily, except, wait a minute, once a year, specifically on the day you were born, we let everybody know that you're part of this cool club. And we actually have quite a few, because we were off for a week. So we've got four. And number one, and for real this time, since it made it through the edit window last week, so I guess double, Ben Murray had a birthday, April 15th. Happy birthday, Ben. I spoke to Ben recently. I don't remember if I was renting something from A&J Party Rental, but I might have, or I might have just seen him out and about.
Shout out A&J Party Rental.
A freebie. Yeah, that's our yearly plug for that place, unless I rent chairs or something, then I always try to give him a shout out.
Absolutely.
We had a longtime supporter of this show, Brian Canabrocchi, owner, proprietor, other words that mean owner, of the Handlebar. His birthday was 420, which, so shout out to Brian. When's the last time you caught up with him?
It's been a while. I need to sit down with him and grab a lunch. It's been quite a while, actually.
We are going, we're going there tonight, so maybe, he's almost never there. He's a busy guy, but we'll raise a glass in his honor. On that same day, the 20th of April, our friend Brandon Duran has a birthday. I didn't know they shared a birthday. I never connected that.
Yeah.
But they do, so happy birthday, Brandon, who no longer lives in our area, so he will definitely not be at the Handlebar tonight, unless, what a surprise that would be.
Right, that'd be crazy.
Happy birthday, Brandon. And then lastly, and this is going to be the day after this episode comes out, our friend Sebastian, April 27th, happy birthday, Seb, very famously in my brain, got sort of peer pressured into joining Patreon during a bottle share at your house when he was walking by the gate outside.
Yeah, because we're neighbors. Yes. That's hilarious.
And we had all been drinking, so I think I might have even convinced him to give me his phone.
Yep.
And I might have signed him up then, or we just talked him into it. Either way, however couple many years ago that was. Thanks for joining the fold. And happy birthday, everybody on Patreon that had birthdays in the recent history of our past. We appreciate you.
Heck yeah.
That's it, I think.
We got to text Sebastian about the bar hang tonight. I forgot about that.
Is he not in the group?
I forgot to add him. I was going through and trying to add everybody that has joined recently. And
yeah, we'll shoot him a text then. Yep. Great. And for the record then, Seb, if you show up, though you won't know this because this is going to release after the bar hang, but your beers are on us tonight.
Yeah.
Partially for your birthday. Partially because of the oversight in not including you in the original.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Patreon. Again, it's patreon.com/freshhopcinema. Let's get to beers now. Johnny Summers, Grey Eagle, Ronin, the name Charlie, that all rings a bell to me in my distant past, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Can you remind me when we've done this?
So the last time Ronin made it onto the show was episode 202 when we reviewed Disney Pixar's Soul.
Mm-hmm.
We did two beers from them. The first one was Alpenglow Pilsner.
Loved that beer.
I gave it a 9. You gave it a 9.
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 9.5 maybe.
You did.
And then the Multiverse Lives, which is his Koji beer. Mm. We did two versions. We did the regular and the raspberry version. The raspberry for, or the, let's go the regular.
Sure.
Was a 9.1 and a 9. One from me, one from you. And then the raspberry version was a 9.7 from me and an 8 from you.
I think, and you can correct me, and not that it matters, except for that I have an OCD thing. I think you gave the regular a 9.1
yes.
and the raspberry a 9.7.
That's exactly how I read it. Did I say that wrong?
I think you said that it was me, then you, and then me, then you.
Gotcha.
So you liked the raspberry more. I liked the original more.
Yes.
But both were great. And one of the rare times we've had three beers, technically, from one brewery on the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get into what Koji is in our discussion today, but
probably not. Neither of these have Koji in them.
Yeah, I think maybe the description might. Would you tell me more about the brewery?
For sure. Located in Grey Eagle, California, Ronin Fermentation provides a unique perspective to new beer styles in addition to respecting the classics. The brewery has a tap room and a comfortable patio where visitors can relax and soak up the fresh Grey Eagle air. The views are breathtaking. I can actually attest to that. And the beer is made from high quality ingredients and made using cutting edge and industry leading techniques. Reading is hard.
You're doing great.
Ronin attracts beer enthusiasts and students of food science from far and wide as a destination brewery. They focus on world-class lagers, but also have an advanced has also advanced at brewing with Koji, a Japanese.
I love this. Keep quiet. We've been off for 2 weeks.
Japanese fermentation technique and spontaneous and mixed culture brewing.
Okay, we got through the weeds. In the time that I poured this first beer and yours, a small little gnat landed in my drink.
That's good luck. You have to eat it.
I'm not eating that.
Do it.
I'm not going to do
that. Put it in mine then. That's good luck.
All right, it's in yours now, you sick person. And he ate it for anybody who's not in this room, which is everyone.
It's good luck.
Okay, beer one. No puffin. Like you said at the top of the show, man, it's a smoked Helles lager. It's 3.8%, and it's brewed, I think, with corn, though I am wrong about that. I was wrong. My instincts were wrong.
I had to switch the beers. The second one was brewed with corn.
Oh, got it.
When I was doing the notes, I realized how low of an ABV this was. So historically speaking, we do the lower ABV first. Sure. So this one had to do the switcheroo.
Okay. I am expecting to really not like this.
Yeah.
I think any type of smoked beers that I've had in the past, I think are pretty gross. I don't like that burnt, sort of often acrid flavor that gets imparted on beers. I'm thinking of like Rauch beers, smoked porters even. Never, ever, to my recollection, have I enjoyed that.
Gotcha.
I'm torn though, because I do love me a Helles lager, but my fear is that any sort of smoking that could have happened in the production process is going to make this beer worse.
Word. All right. I got a little bit more info.
Yeah, please.
And then I'll let you taste that. I hit up Charlie because it was just a silver can.
Yeah.
So I was like, first of all, this is... No puffing, right?
Right.
And he's like, yep.
I'm sorry, you must have done that in the past, minutes.
No, was earlier. I just have it on my phone. It's made with 85% Admiral Pile, 13% oak smoked barley malt, and 2% acid malt. It's hopped with German Tettnang and fermented cold and lagered for 9 weeks.
Okay.
So that is the insider scoop.
It does not smell. I'm also coming off of a cold, so I always like to throw that out when we're doing beer reviews because it obviously affects everything. But it didn't smell super smoky. But the moment I opened my mouth to almost take a drink, I like thought I tasted it. But you've had a pretty good swig. What are you getting on this?
Yeah, man, it's just super subtle. There's a real light, gentle smokiness there, just a sprinkling of that flavor. It's really kind of almost like an intro version to smoked beers.
Yes.
I would say, or anything with a more smoky, roasty character, especially in light beers. This is on the real mellow end of that spectrum.
That's true. There's a bitterness for sure that comes from that, I think. I think it's more of something you feel rather than taste. Did you say the split was 15% of the smoked barley to 85% of whatever else it was?
85% Admiral Pile and 13% oak smoked barley.
I'm no mathematician. Where's the extra 2%?
Acid malt.
Ah, okay.
Which just sounds trippy. I don't know what it is, but it sounds exciting. It
sounds like a great 420 release kind
right?
of, I guess. I don't know. Acid's not really associated with 420. Maybe it is.
Could
be. You know? I was a straight edge guy most of the time. Still am.
That's fair.
Do you like this beer?
I do. It's quite pleasant.
It's really light.
It's super light. It's soft on the palate. This is a beer that's made to be consumed in like a liter. I want this in a giant mug.
Yes.
I mean, at 3.8%.
Yeah.
This is like a perfect hot weather summertime.
Yeah.
Early spring, late spring, early summer.
I'm not sure that this is a reason to tear a beer down. So please don't mistake me for doing that, even if that is what I'm about to do. I don't feel great about this, and I'm not sure that I follow my logic, but I'm gonna work through it out loud.
Okay.
Beer is beer. And at some point you're drinking so much beer, and beer is like of all of the libations, it is, I think, arguably one of the ones that sits the heaviest in one's body.
Mm-hmm.
If you are to drink beer, if your goal is to maybe have like a nice little buzz after a beer, this one's not going to get you there. You'd have to drink a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I think a disclaimer should be said, and you already said it's 3.8, so maybe this doesn't even need to be said because it's intuitive, but like it's not a beer to like catch a buzz on a summer day. You'd have to drink it in a liter, and I think you'd have to drink that liter pretty quick and probably a couple of them.
Sure.
That's a daunting task. Sometimes I want to catch a nice buzz on a light beer. And I wouldn't be getting it on this.
Well, I mean, if you're going for straight alcohol content, I would say beer and a shot.
Yeah, I guess
this would probably pair nicely with a single malt. Get all the smoky things happening.
Get a nice scotch in there.
But yeah, no, I mean, these traditional like German style lagers are oftentimes minus 4%, minus 5%.
Yeah.
And they are made to be consumed in large quantities over a long amount of time. So, I mean, this is an Oktoberfest, man. This is a, you know, grab a few liters and hang out for 12 hours.
Yeah.
You won't get completely
shwasted.
Sloshed.
I've tasted it now again. The smokiness is there. It's creating more of a bitter sensation than anything else. I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, but I'm not even sure if I like it. But okay. I know I don't hate it, so maybe that's somewhere to start.
That is a decent place to start.
Negative points about this for you, anything?
You know, honestly, not much. I really like the style. I love the soft-handedness of the smokiness in it. I think it's really well-balanced. Absolutely crisp, like just such a clean lager. It's
Yeah,
not too many nits to pick here.
What do you think? I mean, stylistically, how do you think smoking or you know, going for a smoke, because it sounds like it was the barley here rather than any sort of actual smoking process.
Yeah.
But doing that to a different type of lager versus like a Helles lager, which is traditionally pretty spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a smoky, spicy flavor profile makes sense intuitively to me. So I think this almost might be the best style of beer, like a light lager to do this with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if anything comes to your mind that might have been more suited to it.
Not really. Anything else would have been getting, you know, you don't want a sweetness with this.
Yeah.
Like that spiciness you're talking about is spot on. Like maybe like a Czech style lager, but like definitely you wouldn't want to do this with like a Kolsch.
No.
You know, just like a sweet, smoky.
I almost think like barbecue though, you know, like barbecue sauce goes really well on barbecued meats, like smoked meats. I almost feel like there's a give and take there that might be really great with something a little on the sweeter side, but I don't know. I think I'm probably ready to rate it. I'm going to try it one more time because I've only had about two drinks, but I'm going to try it one more time and then I think I'll have you give me your rating first.
Do it. Yeah, I'm into it, man. I think it's just super clean. Nice and subtle on the smoke. I love the ABV, honestly. Like if I could grab a 4-pack of this and not really have to worry about too much, you know, if I needed to have two of them and had to go somewhere or something, you know, it's, there's a time and a place for all beers. And like, we like a light lager and I like really light, really crummy lagers sometimes, you know, and the ABV doesn't bother me that much. I think it's refreshing. It's crisp. I like it. It's like an 8.1.
8.1, really good rating. Do you think there's a chance Charlie will pop in and listen to our review of this?
Good chance.
Great. Johnny, this or Busch Light?
Oh, this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Honestly.
Yeah, for me, it's you know, it kind of depends on the day. If I'm trying to be super objective, even for my own palate, it's going to be a 5. Some days it might weasel its way up to a 6. It could also go down to a 4 for me. But I think 5 is kind of right up the middle. Mathematically, it definitely is.
It's about as good as we can expect for you with the smoked beer.
That's where I'm at. And it's really good if you factor in my history with smoked beers at all. So that's where I'm at. I think No Puffin is a 5 for me. It's 8.1 for you.
Oh no, I'm out of No Puffin. Somebody get me a Busch Light.
All right. Yeah. You got anything else on this beer at all?
The beer, I think it's definitely worth tasting if you get up there. I was also just up in like the Truckee Tahoe area. He delivers it himself up there, so there's rumors of it maybe getting to Chico, you know, his beers sooner. But if you're up in that area, check out some of the local bottle shops and snag some of his beer.
When we had those beers back on episode 202, was that stuff that you got from the brewery or did we pick those up at a local shop?
That was at the brewery.
Okay.
I went there.
All right. Yep. Once again, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. If you've tried anything from Ronin and you couldn't agree or disagree more with our evaluations, please do get in touch. Let us know. You can leave a voicemail or send a text to 530-433-0839. We do love feedback. Again, our phone number here is 530-433-0839. And hey, if you like the show, help us out. Leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. It only takes a couple seconds, and it's one of the most effective ways to help us get our show in front of new potential listeners. Incoming is a trailer for Civil War, so don't go anywhere.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if?
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What? Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, a show about the worlds of craft beer and film. If you're listening on the radio waves of KZFR 90.1 FM, you're sadly going to be missing out on some gold that is available exclusively to podcast listeners. So if you'd like to hear the whole episode, you can subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema on Apple Podcasts or wherever quality podcasts are found. It's currently available for your streaming pleasure, so at the end of this, if you're just dying to know what all the hot and bothered fuss is about, please go have a listen.
Four journalists, Lee, Joel, Jesse and Sammy, played by Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Mora, Kaylee Spaney, and Stephen McKinley Henderson, respectively, attempt to make their way from New York to Washington, D.C. to interview the president amidst a national civil war. Their hope is to get an exclusive statement from the president before the so-called Western forces reach the Capitol and overthrow him. The film was written and directed by Alex Garland, who, after his previous three films, Ex Machina, Annihilation, and Men, is no stranger to posing potentially divisive questions in his work. I think this may be his most tangible yet, given the state of affairs in the American political environment of today, but where, like, Ex Machina had no issue pitting man against machine, or Annihilation, man versus the unknown, Civil War makes it clear that this isn't about one side versus the other, like red versus blue or anything like that. And I've heard some people speak of that fact with praise, and others call it a movie that refuses to take a stance. In either case, what it is a movie about the horrors of what life might look like for everyone if this sort of thing ever came to pass. Johnny Summers, Civil War, what did you think?
Yeah, I was really curious about just that, how they were going to tackle the politics of the situation and what led to it. And they really did not get into that at all. That was really all left to interpretation. Mm-hmm. So I kind of admired that. I thought it was a wise path to take, just so the movie isn't insanely polarizing. And, you know, if that's not the point you're trying to get across from any political bent one way or another, and the point of the movie is to illustrate, like you were saying, the experience, what it would be like on the ground, particularly what it would be like in the lens of being a journalist. I thought that it was handled very well. This movie was incredibly tense at times. It elicited some very strong anxiety.
Yeah.
It was not particularly a fun watch. I thought it was very thought-provoking. It was unsettling. Garland has such a great way to be subversive with your sense of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in Men a lot. You see it in Ex Machina. I mean, you see it in all of his movies.
Yeah.
It's a through line, and it's something that he does masterfully of, you know, portraying that dichotomy of life, normal existence, and a civil war happening outside. Mm-hmm. One of the most unsettling scenes was towards the beginning of the movie where they're in a hotel and there's just bombs going off outside. And it was this moment where you're like, wow, they are just in the middle of such chaos and life is trying to just keep going on. I loved that. I thought there was some great performances. I liked Kirsten Dunst. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
So I thought she was great. It was a very well put together movie. I really liked the score. There was some song choices that were just so defiant of what you would think.
And for what was happening on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was that subversion and that dichotomy again of the beauty and the gentleness mixed with the utter violence happening.
Yeah.
I really liked the cinematography. There's a lot of still shots that were snapshots, literally through a journalist lens. So overall, I liked it. I probably want to never watch it again.
100%,
like,
yeah.
It was one of those, but I thought it was very well put together, and it was a really well done, good movie.
What is it out of 10 for you?
It feels like an 8.9.
Really, really great rating. We'll talk about why it's not a 9 probably.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it was a great film. I also don't want to see it again. It ruined my day when I left. I mean, I was in a real funk. It's a movie that I think is a little bit misleading if all you know about it is what you know from the trailer, because it really feels like a high adrenaline action movie set in kind of, like an American Civil War. And it feels very much like it could have lent itself to being a political device where it's like, what? Because we don't really know what's going on. Like you said, like there's hints of like maybe the president's overstayed his welcome and whatever, like California and Texas have seceded. But we don't really even know who's on what side. And I think that's the brilliance of casting or, writing journalists as the main characters, because their whole stance is, and it's said multiple times, like, we don't intervene. We don't interpret. We document, and we leave it up to other people to make decisions. It's a really, it puts the audience in a position of basically, you're in the same shoes as your main character, so you can just watch. And it doesn't feel like the movie is judging the actual conflict, which makes for a really sort of detached, trippy experience. Because on one hand, you can get behind that. But on the other hand, it's like there's American like iconography that is being destroyed. Even in the trailer, you see like there is an attack that happens, like the White House. And that's really weird and jarring to see. I agree. Kirsten Dunst is fantastic in this. She's really good. She did something similar in The Power of the Dog, where she was able to play this detached, kind of worn down but very resilient kind of character. Also, Jesse Plemons was in that movie.
Aren't they married?
I don't know. Kaylee Spaney, very good. She's the sort of bright-eyed, almost the opposite of the Dunst character, Lee, who she wants to be like a war photographer. They both take photos, and that's what they're on their way to do. I like the movie's use of both the snapshots you were talking about, because we basically get these freeze frames of either Lee's camera or Jesse's camera, and they're different. Lee shoots digitally for one, and they're these like full color things, and Jesse on the other hand takes these sort of like artsy black and white photos that she develops on the go, which we could probably read into and try to figure out what that means about their characters. And there's also use of slow motion in the movie, where like the sound will drop out, which really reminds you of a photo. If you're thinking about watching this movie like a photographer and you're putting yourself in those shoes, like the use of those slow, like there's a great sequence where they're driving through a fire, basically. Very, very gorgeous to an extent. It happens. I mean, it's clearly, there's a lot of stuff going on, but a gorgeous scene that reminded me a lot of a freeze frame photo. I think it does a really good job of capturing the mentality of the main characters, which I think is a tough thing to do. I think cinematography is gorgeous as well. The needle drops of some of these songs are really disturbing. There's a lot of stuff that happens. I think if you don't go in thinking that it's going to be this big epic action movie, it's about journalism during a conflict like this. Really, really, really great movie. Yeah, I don't want to see it again. It's a strong film though. It's a 9 for me.
Nice.
It's a great, I don't know if there's much debating it being a good or bad movie. I know people don't like it, but it's a good movie, I think.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at on this.
I like it.
We've got a few minutes before we have to go into spoiler stuff. What's some stuff you want to talk about, if anything?
Nick Offerman was in it for a very short amount of time.
Yeah, he's cast as the president.
What'd you
think about that?
I liked him. I was hoping we'd see more of him, but I feel like that would have gotten into the political weeds, and it didn't really fit the narrative of what Garland was going for.
Yeah.
So I understand the omission of that. Now, how much more of a side or like illustration of like the actual conflict and the whys of where we're at would you have wanted? Or do you think that they did it perfectly?
No, I think leave it alone.
Yeah.
For the point that they're trying to make with these characters, I think the less that we know, the better, because it really doesn't matter to, and I would say the movie is the perspective, and it's Lee's, it's Kirsten Dunst's movie. Like, it's about that character for the most part. Her or Jesse, you can make that case as well. Kaylee Spaney's, because Joel Ragnamora, he's there too. He's a photographer. He's a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Some real sort of sociopathic tendencies. But he's mostly the driver and
like an interview guy. Totally. He seemed like he wanted to get a statement.
Totally. And then Stephen McKinley Henderson is Sammy, who is, I think, sort of like Lee's mentor back in the day. But it's certainly not his story either.
Yeah.
And now I don't remember why I started saying this. Oh, because I think it doesn't matter the motivation of the conflict. All that matters is the motivation of the photographers who we are following, which is just capture the story and get the most visceral, boots on the ground version of the story possible.
Yeah. So I like the neutrality that it maintained.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like a cop out to me. I don't know. I could see how people would want it to be. It would be like, it'd be a little bit more popcorny, you know, if it's like, oh, like the good versus the bad. Like, but I just don't think that makes for a better movie. It makes for a really good, poorly produced, TikTok viral news reel that we would actually maybe see on the news. It's like, this just doesn't feel slanted in that way, which is kind of refreshing.
Yeah. No, I like the neutrality that it took and the journalistic perspective where you're literally documenting, observe and report.
How did you feel about the way, I mean, it's sort of a mission driven movie, right? They start at point A, try to get to point B with an objective. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the way things wrap up when it does? You know, how did you feel? I mean, I know, how did you feel?
Oh, it was so intense. Mm-hmm. It was gutting. A lot of it happened in a place like you were talking about. We're not going to get too spoilery, a lot of historic iconography that in like just on the streets, it felt the most modern day Civil War-ish, you know? And that was, you know, seeing tanks roll down a major boulevard and things like that. It was very unsettling. And the whole way it wrapped up was very unsettling. I left feeling uneasy.
Yeah. There's no catharsis like you might expect from any mainstream movie. We should note this was put out by A24, their largest release to date by far. I'd say large enough to be called a major blockbuster, a movie event.
Yeah.
And usually movies like that will cater to the expectations of the American movie-going audience. And this doesn't. Yeah. I left not feeling great. But again, it felt like it stuck true to what it was trying to say the whole time.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah. Anytime a movie can execute its vision and what it wants to portray, whether that's satisfying with a wrap-up or not, it's nice to see, you know, and that's a big part of why I think we're both in agreement. It's a great movie because it did what it was trying to do and it did it really well.
Yeah.
And it definitely was not for the average consumer. It's more of a thinking upscale kind of an art film, you know, but in a more palatable, almost wrapped up as a facade of a war movie because the trailers totally make it look like a war movie.
Yes.
And it's not.
No.
It is a movie in which war is happening.
There's war going on, for sure.
But it's not a war movie.
No, it's a human behavior movie, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. If you got thoughts on anything we've discussed on the show today so far, get in touch. Call or text 530-433-0839. Send us an email if you want, fhccast@gmail.com. When we come back, I think we'll probably spoil some stuff from Civil War, so if you haven't seen it yet, consider this your second to last warning. Don't you dare touch that dial. We'll be right back with the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone. Danger Zone.
Welcome to the Danger Zone, everybody. We are going to spoil Civil War. So let's get into it. Johnny, what do you want? What needs to be spoiled? You want to talk about... why don't you answer the question I ask you instead of me answering it for you?
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, there's not a ton to spoil except like the actual ending. You know, I think plot-wise, we could go beat for beat, but let's talk about some scenes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jesse Plemons. Let's jump in there.
Okay, sure.
Because that was something that was in the trailer.
Yes.
And you told me off air, you wish he hadn't been in the
trailer. Well, I think it's a mistake. I think it's furthering the way that the trailer makes the movie feel like it's going to be about the conflict and about the fighting and whatever. And it's not Jesse Plemons' character. For those that haven't seen, I'll just give you just the briefest. He's like, I don't know what side he's on. He's like done his own thing. He's with a couple dudes.
Very militia.
Very like nationalist. Like, I'm just taking the law in my own hands. The line in the trailer is like, well, what kind of American are you? They approach them because like press sort of, there's like an unspoken understanding. Like, you don't shoot, you know, the messenger really, which is like media.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in that clearly. Him and his gang are like, get bodies. Upon bodies, just dumping them into a thing, into a big pit. Great performance, very unsettling. He's wearing these bright red glasses.
Yeah. There's metaphor there.
Totally. What did you get from that?
Yeah, like he's obviously got the rose-tinted glasses looking at America through the idealized version of it that he wants to see, and he's making it.
Okay, I took it a different way.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, which is like, I think, I mean, his hands are covered in blood, right? Yeah. Like literally covered in blood. And if you put on a red goggles, like you're not seeing that. Mm. Like, so either he doesn't want to see the blood or, and this isn't my own theory. I heard somebody say this and it made sense. Or like he just wants to see blood everywhere. Like he just wants to see the world bathed in red.
Yeah.
Cause there's such weird glasses, like almost comically so. And you're like, what are you wearing, dude? So then, they must have some meaning. And I like that. I like your interpretation quite a bit. But just like it adds to the unsettling qualities of that character.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
Very, very weird.
I love his acting.
Yeah. He's so unsettling.
I know.
He's so good.
He's very good.
I loved him in Game Night. Remember that movie?
I love Game Night. It's Game so Night is good. A brilliant movie.
It is up there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's such a sleeper too.
I know.
Like I've brought that movie up a few times and people are like, wait, what?
Yeah, dude. Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams.
It's near perfect.
Kyle Chandler, which is either his real name or a character he's played. I can't remember which. Great movie.
Yeah.
So funny.
Mm-hmm. But no, I loved that scene. It was super unsettling. Yeah. Ugh. Just.
Yeah. I couldn't talk about this without spoiling stuff, but I was going to say, yeah, maybe it's Jesse's story instead, because really everything that happens along the way is more formative and more character defining for Jesse than it is for Lee.
Yeah.
Because she's young and she's like being exposed to all this stuff for the first time. And the first thing that really gets her is the gas station scene.
Mm-hmm.
Also really got me.
Yeah.
The two guys strung up and she freezes basically, obviously.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But then Lee is like to the guy that was torturing them, like, go take a photo, go pose with them so I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. And then they have this key conversation where Jesse asks Lee like, hey, you know, if I were shot, would you take the photo of me? And Lee says, like, I think, like, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, that's her whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the poetic bookend of the opposite happening when Lee's the one that gets shot and Jesse's there to, like, take the photo.
Yeah.
Not that I think she planned that necessarily.
Right.
You can make that case.
Mm-hmm.
She went out in the hallway, but she's getting increasingly more like Joel.
So
just
brazen.
Like, and just, like, they have a scene where they smile at each other when, like, everything's going nuts and they both have, like, sadistic, like...
Yeah.
Like, adrenaline junkie grin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what her character ends up, that's the arc she goes on.
Yeah.
And then like takes the picture of Lee as she's falling to her death and then looks back, but not for long.
Yeah.
And she takes the picture of the president getting assassinated.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I took the whole movie as kind of a passing of the torch between Lee and Jesse, where, you know, Jesse is very novice and very out of her element. Like the first scene that we meet her, she is just
about to die,
just trying to take pictures and doesn't really know what she's doing. And it became kind of a little bit of like a hero's quest where the old aged knight photographer is taking the young upstart under her wing and teaching her how to be and all that. And I loved that aspect of it too, because it wasn't the sole focus, but it was a mentor relationship in there enough that you kind of got endeared to both characters.
Totally.
It really, it personalized both of their characters quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of which, that was the first scene that like got me where I was like, oh, what are we in for here? Is the very first scene where we meet everyone and they're at this like protest, right?
Yeah. And I think it was like a water truck that they were like, give us water or something.
So yeah, it was something like that, but it was just on a city street. And the culmination of that is a woman carrying a giant U.S. flag.
Yeah.
And like she's a suicide bomber.
Yes.
And she detonates herself in the middle of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Like that was so shocking and like set the tone for the unease that you should feel for the entire rest of the movie.
Totally.
Like, oof. Just talk about flipping your expectations.
Yeah.
And the other thing too was. How scary were those gunshots?
What is going on?
Dude, did you jump? Yeah, dude,
I don't know. Sound design, I guess, but like really, really visceral sound design.
So loud.
There's the scene where Jesse Plemons first shoots one of the guys because he says he's from China.
Mm-hmm.
Scared me.
Yeah.
Like full on. I was pretty sure he was going to get shot too.
Yeah, but the volume.
Yes.
Like that's kind of how jarring it is when you're around a gun and it is fired like and the first scene in one of where they're kind of starting to go in to document a battle and the out of nowhere there's a gun crack
yeah
and it, oh my God every time that happened everyone that I was with just jumped
Like, yeah, what was your theater like? Who were you seeing with?
Medium crowded. It was me, Shalina, and Matt Satterfield.
Who's the demographic of the movie?
They look like they were all about my age.
Okay.
Maybe some more middle-aged people, but yeah, all probably in that mid-30s.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The A24 crowd.
Sure. Yeah, I saw it. It's been like a week and a half for me, but I think I saw it in like the middle of the day too. No, I didn't. I saw it in the evening, but I just don't remember who was in it. So I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, those gunshots were very so scary.
Yeah.
Like the sound design got me. And yes, like it worked. It had immediate impact where mm-hmm. it was like, oh, they're scared. I'm scared now too. Like
yeah,
talk about doing a good job putting us into our main characters' totally. Shoes and their headspace. Like, well, now I have anxiety too.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You know, I really like the performance of Kirsten Dunst when she finally breaks.
Oh God, yes.
When in the third act when like they are trying to like get in there and she just like finally everything catches up and she's like holding her head and screaming. Yeah. Like
I get it. Like, same, girl. Same.
Brutal.
Like, she was reacting normally.
Yes.
And, like,
which is unusual, though, because she hasn't been the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great job.
That got me, too. I was like, that's so touching and identifiable.
Yes.
Because that's how any one of us would react.
Yeah.
If you're not, like, a hardened war photographer. Yeah. So stressful.
So you're not going to see it again?
I probably will watch it one more time once it comes out. But then, like, after that, give it a... put it to bed for a while.
Should other people see it?
Absolutely.
No matter the people?
Yeah. I think it's a good film.
I think it's
a very good film and it's super well acted. It was beautifully shot and it kind of had it all going from the writing to the acting to the plot to the score. Like, I love the sound design, love the music.
Yeah.
Loved most everything about this movie. It was a tough watch.
Yep. Agreed. Anything else on Civil War?
No.
All right. Then calm down, my friend. We'll be right back with beer number two. Like I said, tranquilo, amigo. Nothing to get worked up about. We're past the Civil War. We're back in beer territory.
Rock and roll, man.
What are we drinking? Okay, do you want to do it?
We're drinking tranquilo, amigo.
I interrupted your drink. I saw you moving it to your mouth. I was like, oh no, I feel bad.
I just want to drink it. I'm so excited. Tranquilo, amigo is a Mexican dark lager brewed with corn from Ronin Fermentation Product.
Okay.
Project.
Product.
Woo!
A product from the project.
Yeah, man. It's 5% alcohol and it looks very akin to like a Negro Modelo
sure.
in the glass.
Yeah, I was going to say like an amber lager, but it is, if up to the light, it's more brown than amber.
Or could be a Dos Equis. Amber.
Oh, a Dos Equis?
Dos Equis.
I've never had a Dos Equis.
They're very good.
Are they?
I like regular Dos Equis. The amber is not my favorite because I don't like ambers that much.
Yeah,
but
who does?
Regular Dos Equis and like, dude, I love Mexican beers like Tecate.
Is it really Equis?
Equis.
It's not Equis?
I don't think so.
Dos Equis? Everybody says Dos Equis.
Did they say that in the commercials? Like the most.
I don't know. He's got such a thick accent.
The most interesting man in the world.
You know,
Dos Equis.
I always feel you ever like when you doesn't. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for this kind of tangent today. As much fun as it is, what do you think of that beer, sir?
Thick, roasty, chocolatey right off the bat. I'm getting overtones of roasted chocolate. Finishes nice and light. It's on the sweeter side. I wouldn't say it's overly sweet, but there is strong sweetness.
There is a ton of like copper irony stuff going on.
Okay.
It's like drinking blood.
Whoa.
A little bit. And not in like a fun, which we should talk about, Empire of the Damned kind of way.
Totally.
It is sweet, but there is a specific and undeniable metallic quality that I'm getting.
Huh. I'm not getting that at all.
Really? Okay. I'll have to try it again, obviously. But think metal. Think you just stuck a penny in your mouth. You get any of that?
There's a little bit of a tang.
Really?
Right. That's up front, but right, not super metallic. Is it that tang right up front that you're getting?
Yeah, maybe, but it's also like, I'm sure I got a penny somewhere. Open up.
We don't need a penny.
Dude, I don't know. I don't.
Uh-oh,
I don't really? I don't like that I'm this guy today. I don't enjoy it.
I think your mouth and your tasters is broken.
It is possible. What's it doing for you? What are the good notes that are jumping out? And maybe if you could reinforce what I'm saying, that would make me feel better.
I mean, there is a little metallic note right up front.
All right.
But it's negligible.
All right.
Like, it is not something that's throughout, and it doesn't really kill it for me at all. No, strong, roasty, toasty, chocolatey, smooth, thin, which it's a lager, it should
mm-hmm,
be.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. It's more sweet than what I would have expected.
Yes.
Which I like quite a bit.
Okay.
A lot of, like, dark Mexican lagers do have a tendency to get a little bit on like the bitter side.
Okay.
So I'm digging that this has kind of a round, full-bodied, like sweet backbone, but it's not cloying. It doesn't get like distractingly sweet. Like it balances out well with the roasted malts.
It totally does. I don't get what you're saying about the chocolate, but everything else I pretty much agree with.
It's because my palate's more advanced than yours.
Could be. No, or you just like chocolate and you look for it everywhere.
I think it's more that I'm not, you're so stuffed up.
I know. I can't even laugh properly. It's good, dude. There's a type of beer and maybe it's a Mexican dark ale. Maybe it's what's a Newcastle? An amber?
That's like a brown ale.
Is it a brown ale?
It's a brown ale.
All right.
Newcastle brown.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something about those beers are not to be enjoyed perfectly cold in my mouth. Like I really like, not a room temp, obviously, but like, you know, slightly warmer than fridge temp, like really brings out those sweet notes.
Like a cellar temp, like a 65, totally. 70 degree beer.
Yeah. Like I think this is going to be really nice as it opens up.
Good enough.
It's good to have a 5% beer that isn't meant to be. And we're saying the opposite of what we said about the first beer, but I do think there's a time and a place. You don't need every light beer to be like, oh, like I need it in a, what'd you call it? A liter?
Stein.
Like in a stein?
Yeah.
Like some can be a little bit more robust. Like it's great to have the flavor. And this is sort of getting into the session IPA argument.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have the flavors of a larger beer without the heft. And granted, I don't feel that way about session IPAs, but no. I do feel that way about this kind of style. Like, I'm glad this isn't a 7% beer because it feels like I'm drinking a beer, but if I don't want to have a bunch of them, this will satisfy that craving.
Totally. Yeah. No,
so
I do
like that. I don't love the metallic thing I'm still getting.
All right. Well, that's fair. I mean, that's a solid nit to pick. If I was picking that up, I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah. It's good though. Yeah. There it is again, man. You really don't get that?
No.
It's a very coppery, bloody kind of thing.
No, I'm not.
Maybe I bit my tongue. Man, am I bleeding?
Are you bleeding? Oh God, you're bleeding.
No, it's good though. I don't want to blaze past this beer too fast, but is there anything notable that we haven't noted?
No, all the notables have been noted.
Actually, this is not facing you, but I'll turn that towards you.
Oh,
I think this is worth noting. Yeah, gorgeous sort of daffodil yellow can with a reflective copper circle. In the background, in front of which lies a square, almost picnic blanket-looking checkerboard with a cactus growing out of the middle, a traditional brown cowboy hat on top of the cactus.
Yeah.
Hope to God that doesn't go back on somebody's head because, ouch. Cool can.
Yeah. No, the table, it reminds me of a tablecloth at like a taco truck.
Yep. And I should have said corn yellow, not daffodil yellow.
Maize
yellow. What an idiot am I. Yeah, maize yellow. Very nice. No canning date on the bottom of this. I'm sure it's fresh.
Yeah.
All right, let's go out of 10 on this Tranquilo Amigo.
I really like it. I actually got more than I'm sharing with you. And
of this one in particular?
Yeah, I made pollo asada tacos.
Okay.
And paired it with it. It was so good.
How many did you get, dude?
Two.
Total?
Yeah, drank one.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Actually, and I brought one to the last bottle share, too, and I brought a Koji beer.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You brought this to the last bottle share?
If I didn't bring this, I brought something else and a Koji beer for sure.
You brought the Koji beer. Yeah. If you did bring this, I didn't get any.
You might have not got any.
Which is okay, because for me, it's a 6 out of 10. I don't need to grab that at a bottle share necessarily.
There you go.
What is it for you?
It's like an 8.3. It's really? Super solid.
Great ratings.
Fantastic lager. Well-balanced. Love it.
But worth noting that across the board, both of these beers, we enjoyed our first run-in with Ronin a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Stylistically, maybe more interesting beers. I hate to use the I word, but,
right.
You know, maybe. Yeah.
No, exactly. They're a little bit more out there styles, and not surprised you didn't love a smoked Hellas.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's a style that not everyone fully endorses, but like the Koji beer was so unique and still so good. Like that beer holds up like crazy.
Yes.
And Alpenglow Pilsner is one of my favorite Pilsners made in California, period.
Incredible Pilsner.
It's so good.
And we didn't get that around here. We got that at the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
That beer would absolutely slay.
Oh, it will.
In the Chico market.
Oh, it will.
Good. It better.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we ought to do a top 10 Pilsners, even like a top 5 California Pilsners,
mm-hmm.
or California made Pilsners.
Or West Coast. Would pretty much insist Von Ebert be in that conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it was outside of California, they'd have to be Portland.
Yeah.
Von Ebert. Yeah. Man, yeah, they'd have to be. Mm-hmm. But we could do that list now. We actually have we have a few more minutes for our radio listeners that we gotta talk about.
Put a pin in that though.
I will. Actually, I won't. Well, I can. I can put it in the notes.
I'm always down to talk loggers.
Well, let me put it down here in our notes then. Top five Pilsners of the West Coast. That'll be a Patreon exclusive.
Let's go with loggers.
Logger? No, dude. It's too big. No. And here's why. There's only two styles of beer, my guy. Ales and lagers. Mm-hmm. We can't just do lagers. That's so many things. I think it has to be, and it doesn't have to be just Pilsners, but it could be like Pilsners and Kolsch's and
Helles. Those are lagers. All styles of lagers.
I know, but you can't do every style of lager.
True again.
It's too many.
Not.
We're going to get five beers?
Yeah.
Dude, you're puffing.
Pilsners are, it's too specific.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. Pilsners, two lagers. We can narrow it down. Tell me some more stuff about your trip to Ronin, would you? How people can get there? Do you know their hours by chance? What's the brewery like?
Oh, I would have to pull up their hours.
Don't worry about their hours. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, they have a great tap room and a really cool little patio, and they make all their beer right there on site. It is 15 minutes outside of Quincy.
Okay.
Kind of right between Quincy and Portola. If you ever
familiar
with Gray Eagle, there's some fantastic hiking mountains. It's world renowned for like mountain biking and cross country skiing.
Isn't Alpenglow a mountain or something?
I believe so.
It was something like that, and it was very regional.
Yeah, but yeah, it's fantastic tap room. I would, if you're in the area or are driving the back way to Reno for some reason or up to Truckee, I would go there 100%. He's making some of the best beers, like in the world, legit, and it's just so tucked away. I cannot wait till we start seeing his stuff in Chico.
Yeah, I think I made that up about Alpenglow, but it does sound like a mountain,
totally
to me. Okay, dude, I was going to go off on a tangent earlier and now we're doing the dance where like, I don't want to open up too big of a can of worms because we'll run out of time for our radio listeners, but we do have a few minutes to fill.
Okay.
That we are, if not contractually obligated by the blood of our palms, obligated to fill. Mm-hmm. So I almost want to like crack open the can on that list. Like what comes to mind when you think of, if we keep it to California.
Okay.
And I'm just sort of spitballing here. Pilsners.
Edel Pils, Enegrin, Timbo Pils.
What's that?
It is the like flagship Pilsner from Highland Park Brewing.
Oh, really? I didn't know they did a good Pilsner.
Timbo is fantastic. I'll get us some cans.
That'd be great. Are you still part of their their
membership?
Membership, yep. That's the word.
I'm a bottle friend.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they call them, bottle friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fantastic. Yeah, it's the only beer membership I'm still involved in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually bringing, I'm bringing last year's coconut tree to the bottle share tonight to open.
Oh, good.
So
great.
Yeah, because I got three or four bottles of the new coconut tree that I had to make room for.
Sure.
So I'm gonna do a Pepsi challenge with myself. Anyway, all that to say, Pilsners. Other than those two, Trumer, 100%. It's gotta absolutely be in the conversation.
Trumer, for sure.
Scrimshaw has to be up there.
Oh, are you a big Scrimshaw guy?
It's a classic. It is up there with, you know, when's the last time you had it?
It's within the past year.
Okay.
I'll have it occasionally in Reno when I'm there.
It's a great Pilsner on a lot of beer lineups that normally don't have good beer.
That's true.
Like a lot of sports bars.
Yes.
It's like a bastion of hope when I see a Scrimshaw handle.
Sure.
Like there's something to drink.
It's and North Coast is a big enough brewery that it makes its way, like it can weasel its way into like some larger corporate kind of like BJ's.
Yep.
Although actually that's the worst example because I think BJ's does their own beers. Do they have guest taps?
BJ's or Buffalo Wild Wings?
BJ's. Do you know what BJ's is?
No.
Oh. Do you know what Pete's Brewhouse is?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Okay.
In fact, it might be the same owners. I'm not sure. But it's, you know, it's like a sort of a chain restaurant that feels like a Chili's, but wants you to think it's like a Burgers and Brew.
Yeah. No, they do some of their own beers. Or I mean, like they buy beer outsourced.
Yeah.
So,
right. Okay.
Yeah. Other Pilsners that come to mind right off the top of my head, Easy Peasy Pilsner. From Urban Roots, that is up there.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of my all-time favorites. Let's just see. There's so many good ones. Enegrin. You've got Lightest One. You've got Lagertha. You've got all the single hop varietals that they do. Like my top five is probably going to be three breweries.
Yeah. Okay. There would be a cause for us to, if we ever ended up doing our Beer Madness this year, which I think honestly we should do outside of basketball March Madness.
Sure.
Because then we can sate a thirst that people have rather than having to fight against basketball. But I think we talked about doing, Pilsners.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Ago. That would be a great way to figure it out. I wish I had more of a finger on the pulse of San Diego, or rather Southern California in general, because like I know a few, but I'm not really plugged into that market on a weekly basis to know what's really popping.
Yeah.
In our last few minutes here, I would like to formally suggest we, in the spirit of Civil War, mention our favorite road trip movies. Civil War, of course, being the most fun buddy road trip across the states that we can think of. What comes to mind when you think road trip movies in the, you know, 4 to 5 minutes we have?
Dumb and Dumber, Euro Trip, To Wong Fu. Those are three great ones off the top of my head.
Okay. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Absolutely. You could even maybe throw in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas in that conversation.
You absolutely should. I've actually never seen that, dude.
It's fantastic. You would hate it. I love it.
It's like a drug trip movie, right? Yeah. It's sort of the whole thing. Bad road trip movies, Green Book. Always love a chance to bring that up whenever I can. It's a road trip movie for sure. I think a road trip movie like has to be like, cause like Tommy Boy feels like one, but I don't think it is.
It is. The majority of that movie takes place on a road trip.
Is that the qualifier?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they have
Zombieland.
Zombieland is a great example. Yep. What else?
Natural Born Killers.
Sure. Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah.
What about, no, that wouldn't make sense. Bullet Train? It's not a, I mean,
No.
It's all on a train going from place to place.
That's not a road trip. That's a rail trip, brother.
Okay, fair enough. So plane movies are out too?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because they're not on roads, man.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Have you ever seen To Wong Fu?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's so great.
What's the deal?
Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo are all drag, are all drag queens.
Oh, wow.
And it's about like them going to like a drag show.
That's awesome.
It's so, was Little Miss Sunshine, would that count?
That would be a great one.
That's got to be on the list.
Yeah. We're the Millers.
Yep. 100%.
Are you a fan of that movie?
Yes. That was great.
I think I am too.
It was so funny.
Due Date with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis.
That was a good one.
That's like a classic in the spirit of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where like two people who like one can't stand the other.
Yep.
And then by the end, of course, you know, they find common ground and turn out their friends.
Yeah.
I like that sort of thing.
Me too. That was good.
Did you ever see Away We Go with John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph?
No.
Oh, dude. If for no other reason, this songwriter, Alexi Murdoch, put out this EP called, might be called Four Songs. And it's like the only thing he's ever put out, but it's these really amazing singer-songwriter tunes that use like a lot of like drop D and like drone-y kind of really gorgeous songwriting. Terrific movie. You should see it.
It's check that out.
2009. Yeah. Oh, Sam Mendes. Very worthwhile.
All right.
The Road, Viggo Mortensen, another feel good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm looking at a list of people that have compiled like road trip movies. I don't know what Into the Wild is doing on this list. You think Borat counts?
Loosely. He is kind of touring around America in a
But it's like
car.
It's not the point
isn't the road trip.
It has to be like getting to the destination.
Yeah. And like staying in hotels and like just
And staying in like bad hotels. I agree.
Yeah. Like almost the Florida Project, but it was just in a bad hotel.
Sure. You have to have a Florida Project-esque hotel.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is, by the way, that movie really ought to be called Automobiles.
Yeah.
I guess there's a fair amount of trains.
And a plane.
One plane in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, a lot of airports.
That's
so
true.
That qualifies it.
Do you ever see Almost Famous?
Long time ago.
That's a good road trip movie.
And Oh Brother.
Mm.
They're on roads.
They're on roads. That's true. You mentioned Natural Born Killers. You said Dumb and Dumber. That's a great call. What else is jumping out to you here? Anything?
I think that's like only ones that are really popping out right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Whoever made this list sucks. I don't, but they've seen a lot of old movies. Tell you what.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about all the time we can fudge without saying anything of note, really.
Yeah.
But this is what we do here on this show. We talk about stuff and things that we find interesting. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry to have wasted your time, but there's worse things you could have been doing.
I'm not. It's our time now.
Once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. I'm reminding you that because you might be listening on KZFR 90.1 FM and wondering what the heck you've been listening to for the last 10 minutes. If you have feedback on anything we've discussed or not discussed today, you can call or text us at 530-433-0839. Again, our number is 530-433-0839. You can also send us a good old-fashioned email to fhccast@gmail.com. Next week, I think we're going to be covering Challengers, which is a film with Zendaya, who plays a tennis star caught in a crazy love triangle in her early years. There's more to it than that. But I think that might be the closest thing we have on the docket in terms of new releases. Am I right or wrong about
that? I'd rather watch the Sasquatch movie.
I would love to watch Sasquatch Sunset.
Yep.
We should do that too. I can't, but you're not into Challengers?
No.
All right. Read your thing then. Fine. We don't know what we're watching.
All right.
Wait, we know what we're drinking.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking.
What's the brewery?
Two beers from Slice Brewing out of Lincoln, California.
Available in Chico for purchase?
Absolutely not.
All right. Exclusive only.
As a reminder to our radio listeners, if you want to hear the rest of today's conversation, which includes the always unpredictable Hot and Bothered, or if you want to go digging through 7+ years worth of episodes dating back to 2016, head over to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema.
We'll be back on the radio waves of KZR. I don't know why I said that. KZR next Saturday. 4 p.m. Until then, consume some films and beers that broaden your horizons, make you happy, or make you think about the political landscape of America. And if you enjoyed the show today, you can leave a tip for KZFR at kzfr.org. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will be right back with some flick picks and Hot and Bothered, so don't go anywhere if you're listening in podcast form.
Gus March Phillips, I have a mission I want you to lead. Thank you, Sergeant.
What's the plan?
To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We're losing the war.
Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them. They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
This is an unsanctioned, unauthorized mission. If we fail, England will be condemned to a lifetime under the German boot.
So I said, that is not a dog. That is my wife!
It's very good.
You and your operation are reckless.
Abort this mission now.
Hello, can't hear you.
Please do off.
All right, we're talking flick picks real quick. Now, Johnny, you are a fan of Guy Ritchie films sometimes.
Hell yeah.
So am I sometimes.
One of my Hot and Bothered is the new Gentleman series.
Oh, nice, dude.
Just finished it. Big fan.
Really?
Really good. Okay. Love Guy Ritchie.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm primed and ready for another true-to-form, fast-paced, fast-talking, funny, great characters, snappy dialogue, Guy Ritchie flick a la Snatch, Lock, Stock, The Gentleman,
sure.
Feature length of the same. So I want you to tell me.
Yeah.
Am I going to be disappointed?
No. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare came out about a week ago, and it's, like I said at the top of the show, it's sort of this true-life account on this operation in World War II called Operation Postmaster, where England, Britain, Great Britain, under the guide of Winston Churchill, decided they wanted to put a stop to the Nazis by destroying one of their U-boat supply ships. So you got Henry Cavill, Eliza Gonzalez, Alan Richardson, Henry Golding, all these people that show up and make this sort of ragtag group of spies and mercenaries to do this job.
This is a recipe for success.
It totally is. There's a lot of Guy Ritchie stuff we love. There's fun edits. There's temporal story sort of manipulation that makes it a fun watch. So you kind of know what's going to happen before it happens. Still manages to get some drama and some suspense out of that. It's funny. I believe that Alan Richardson plays a suggestedly gay character, and Sweet. It's not played for homophobic laughs like a lot of Guy Ritchie people have been in the past. Mm. So that impressed me quite a bit.
I like that.
The action's fun. It's a good watch. It's just under 2 hours long. I saw it in the theaters because I wanted to go see it.
Nice.
I would check it out. You know, I'm not going to spoil too much, Johnny, but I think you will like it.
Perfect.
So watch it when you have a chance. For me, it's like a solid 7 out of 10 movie.
Hell yeah. Would I like it more than Argyle?
You will definitely like it more
than
Argyle.
Was it better than Argyle?
Argyle's more inventive.
Was it better than Argyle? Yes or no?
No, because you would say yes. It's not quite objective. I think Argyle's good, dude. I think the Sam Rockwell performance in that movie, and Henry Cavill's a nice, you know, double feature there, but I think they're similarly toned. Mm. Where Matthew Vaughn falls into like the goofy sort of Kingsman action is the downfall of Argyle. This doesn't have that. This has legitimate fun action all the way through. So I think if you're going for action, this movie's better.
It's been on my radar. I'm actually really excited to go see it. I think I'm going to take Friday off this week, so nice. I might just treat myself to an early movie.
Great. That's all I've got for that movie. You want to get into Hot and Bothered?
Let's do it.
All right, Hot and Bothered coming up. Hot and Bothered. All right, my first thing in Hot and Bothered is next week on our show, we're going to have a guest producer, our friend Brian.
I know him.
He's going to come. We're back to a video feed for next week. So he's going to be a live switcher for us during the main show. And we're going to do a very fun bonus episode for Patreon where I'm going to give Brian a mic and he's going to be switching for us as well. But we're going to review a black ale called Sinister Black Ale from the last blockbuster on the planet from in Bend.
Sweet.
I was just there and we're going to drink that beer. We're going to review what the fuck a beer from a video rental store tastes like.
Sweet.
And that'll be next week. So I'm really excited for that. Johnny, okay. What do you have in Hot and Bothered?
Like I said, just finished The Gentleman. Guy Ritchie created,
yep.
Directed 2 episodes, wrote 2 episodes, but carries a very similar tone.
Excuse me.
A lot of familiar faces that you will have seen in some of Guy Ritchie's other stuff.
Okay.
It was an 8-episode kind of little mini series on Netflix. And yeah. I was so all in. It was fantastic. And it gave big the Gentleman vibes, the film, not the mini series.
Right.
So it was kind of a nice homage to that, but well acted, well written, beautiful to look at. Like 100% check it out.
Love that. A little bit of listener feedback from the past couple of weeks. We got a voicemail, which is a pretty rare occurrence. We usually get texts, but we got a voicemail. And I don't want to necessarily name the person here, but I will say this was in response. This was a KZFR listener, I think, responding to our weird tangent about bubblegum.
Okay.
And this person basically wrote in and said that she used to chew watermelon bubblegum and that her big thing was she could make 2 bubbles in one. And she said this all in the voicemail through, by her own admission, a mouthful of pistachio nuts.
Yep.
It was a very wonderful.
One of the best voicemails.
Did you hear it too?
Yeah.
Okay, good. To listen to. And I think that was really fantastic.
Yeah.
I have one more listener shout out I want to give here, which is our friend Lauren Lindley, who writes in from time to time. And this is more shout out for you, Johnny. And Lauren said this. I sent my beer drinking buddy, Drew, who just moved to PDX to Belmont Station because he heard us talk about it on the podcast. He said legit. And thank you.
Hell yeah.
So you're spreading the word for Belmont Station.
Perfect.
I know that makes you happy.
It's one of the best places in the world to drink and buy beer.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's what I have for Hot and Bothered this week. Johnny, you got anything else?
I am diving into the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime. So if you have a chance and you want to catch up with that, based on the video game series from Bethesda, if you've ever played any of them, action RPG, great.
Can you stop time
to
fun. Pick your targets?
It's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, Walton Goggins, one of the main characters, loving it so far. Yeah,
you go goo goo for Goggins.
I do.
Aren't you? You're a big fan.
Yeah. Love that guy. So I'm plodding through that and I'm also catching up on Shogun. So by next week, maybe I will have at least one of those finished and we'll do a recap. And if you ever finish Empire of the Damned,
I did.
Well then put it.
How good was Empire of the Damned? All right. Pin has been put.
So good.
Pretty darn great.
Oof. We should talk about that over beers with some friends at the Handlebar.
Does anybody know what we're talking about at the Handlebar? Like, does anybody in Patreon know what that is?
I don't think anyone in Patreon reads books.
Yeah, that's true. Degenerates. we'll just describe to them what books are, and then we can see if they bite.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, we better hit the road, so the show wouldn't be what it is without the support of Bailey Minardi, all the people we have mentioned a bunch on this show today in Patreon. And then, wow, how fortuitous is this? Thanks to the Handlebar for advertising with us. We'll see pretty much everybody except my sister in 20 minutes.
It's going to be crazy.
See you next week. We appreciate you. I don't mean to take your outro. Go ahead. My name is Max Minardi.
My name is Johnny Summers. Thanks for joining us. Drink some smoked lagers and call us and tell Max how amazing they are. Watch some fun stuff. If you're watching anything I'm watching, text us. Let's chat about it. Most importantly, be excellent to each other. Words are hard. I love you. I'll see you next week. Bye.
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.